Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. This is Selfless Love Talk with your coach, Chanel Budd. And I am here this morning to present a guest speaker who is Rachelle Solomon. I would like to first give you all just an update on some things that has been going on, and to let my guests know in advance that if there's something that you all would like to say or if you have questions for our guests, please feel free to jump in, and ask those questions. I will go ahead and start by unmuting the phones. If you have any background noise or whatever and you are not myself, the host, or guest, then I would ask that you please mute your phones. So right now I am going to present. Is Rachelle, are you here?
I am.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited about this topic for today in regards to finances, and I'm grateful to have you as a guest on the show, so I want to go ahead and thank you now. And if you would like, I don't know if you want me to go ahead and read your intro or if you want to do that.
I could just give an overview of my intro instead of reading
okay.
it.
Okay. So,
Okay, my name is Rachelle Solomon. I am an author, speaker, podcaster, and sometimes blogger. I went from $400,000 in debt to $40,000 in debt in 4 years. And in that financial journey, I decided that I didn't want my kids to have to go through the same situations that I went through. So I created the My Little Banker book series, and that is just a children's book that teach financial literacy to kids. And I also have a couple other books for parents to teach them how to teach their kids about money. So this is a topic that I'm very, very passionate about, and it's not, you know, I went to school and I learned all this stuff, and now I just do this as a job. I went through a journey, a financial journey, and now I'm using the experiences that I learned to teach other people.
Okay. Thank you for that. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the show over to you so you can go ahead and start saying a little more about the Little Bankers and what all is included in that.
Okay, so anyone who has ever went through the process of trying to get out of debt or not even trying to get out, if you are in debt and you have creditors calling you for any reason, that was the space that I was in when I started creating the My Little Banker series. And it was, when I started, it really was a selfish pursuit to help my kids. What happened was, my son was on the couch. He was happy. We was having a great little moment. He's only about 6 to 9 months old, somewhere around there. And I get a phone call. And I answer the phone, and it's a debt collector. And they're, like, stressing me and threatening to take me to jail. And they're going to, you know, take every dollar I have, and they're not going to leave me no money to pay my bills. And, you know, all of this anxiety. I had anxiety and I was crying. I was like really emotional. So at the end of the day, I just hung up the phone, and then I looked at my baby, who was still happy, who didn't have a clue what was going on. And here I am, all frustrated and in my emotions. So at that moment, I was like, I want to keep this happy baby happy. I'm not going to ever allow them to feel the feelings that I'm feeling. So that same day, I grabbed my baby up, and I went to the bookstore, and I was like, well, let me just read books to my baby. I'm already reading books about shapes and colors and numbers and all that kind of stuff. Surely there's a book out there I can read to my baby about money, right? Get to the bookstore, yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing. There is no book. You know, there's like, this is a quarter, this is a dollar, and all those books are in the math section. I just wanted to be able to read a simple story, and my kid happened to find out a money lesson, and then I could start the conversation. And so I just started writing the books myself, And fast forward now, 6, almost 7 years later, and I have a series of books, and I'm teaching on it. And I'm not just teaching kids, but I'm also teaching parents. And I'm teaching, you know, women how to empower themselves and how to control their emotions in this process. Because women, we get emotional, and I don't even just mean crying. I mean, we'll just think about the situation for the whole rest of the day, which means it might ruin our day because we're not being present in, like, the good times or the positive times or the things that's going around us, things that are happening because we're secretly worrying. So that's kind of the stuff that I like to talk about and teach on. And, yeah, that's the beginning
now
of
that's
my
good.
Story of my
Now, that is good because you're right as far as, like, the worrying. You know, how do you get around knowing that this is something that's going on but not allowing it to overtake you? You know, being able to address those things in a healthy and positive way. And also with women, we're very impulsive. So sometimes, and that's what I wanted you to touch on too as far as financially, sometimes a lot of the reasons why we get caught in our traps is because, you know, we let our emotions override what we're going through, and then we put ourselves in a deeper hole.
Right.
As far as financially, so financially.
Right. I actually have a couple of rules or to-dos for those. Okay, so one, if you're talking to any bill collector of any kind, not even if not collections, but let's say you owe $100 on a cell phone bill, but you only got $75. Do not allow external forces to or external people to give you a number you know you can't do, because of what that does, that causes stress. And that causes anxiety. At the end of the day, you are in control of your situation, even if it doesn't feel like it. When it doesn't feel like you're in control of your situation, hang up the phone or leave. Go collect yourself. Get your power back. Get your strength back. Go to your happy place mentally, and then come back when you're not in your emotions. So for women, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so for women, you know, we're nurturers, we're lovers, we love, you know, we take care of everybody we touch. And so for us, it feels weird to, like, hang up on somebody. We're like, oh, that's being disrespectful. And especially if the conversation is already started. It's one thing to pretend that you're not home and you don't answer, and you hang up the phone or you don't answer the phone. But eventually, you're going to have to deal with these people. And so when you deal with these people, just constantly tell yourself, I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm in control. Because as soon as they tell you something you don't like, one, as soon as they tell you to do something you cannot do, two, or as soon as they get you into a vulnerable feeling space, you hang up, you walk away. Because you being in control means you're not going to negotiate with them on their terms. Their job is to get you as angry, frustrated, crying, emotional, stressed out as they can so that you give them the money. Not only do you give them the money, you give them the most amount of money. You see what I'm saying? So as soon as you're calm and collected and organized mentally or emotionally, they don't know how to handle that. And then as soon as you have the control and you hang up or you ask for a supervisor, then they really don't know how to handle that, because that's not on their script, the script that they're reading to you to get you in your feelings. That's not on that. So then they have to – so now they have to become a human. They can't just read off of a piece of paper. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is good. That is good. Do you have any information on any of the laws, like as far as when they're calling you, like, you know, your job and things like that? Do you know any of those types of scenarios that you can share on how to deter those type of things?
Well, okay, so first of all, you have to contact the places calling your job and tell them to remove your job number from their system. One, when you do that, you can document it, so write it down. So you have to tell them, you have to have a verbal, you can do two ways. You can verbally tell them, do not call my mother's house, my father's house, my cousin's house, my grandma's house, my job, my old job, or whatever. You know, whatever, wherever they're calling, and that's a violation. Once you tell them not to call anymore, if they continue calling, that's against the law. One, if you can do that verbally, especially if they're recording the call, because, you know, they always say we're recording the call.
Mm-hmm.
But two, you can also write it in a letter and say, no longer call my grandma. And put your grandma's phone number, because they already got it anyway if they're calling her. You know what I mean? And
right.
Anybody else that they're calling that you don't want them to call, you put all those names and numbers in a on a letter and say, you no longer have my permission to contact these people. And if you do, you are breaking the law. You mail that with a certified, you know, with a certified mail, so that means somebody had to sign it when they grabbed it. And then you get that certified sticker back. So now you have proof that they received your letter. So now, anytime they call after that, you can sue. You just have to document, you know, when they call, what time they call, which person did they call. Did they call your job? Did they call your grandma or your dad or whoever? You just keep documentation of that. And every time, you know, if they continue calling after you've told them not to and after you possibly sent them a letter telling them not to, they can get sued and they can pay up to like $7,000 per offense. So offense is every one time they call after you tell them not to. So
okay.
That's a power. And what I would do is when I tell them, say, please, after you tell them that don't call anymore, and say, please know I will sue you if you continue. Let them know you're serious, because if they don't think you're serious, they're going to keep calling.
Thank you for that. Can you give your information and how to contact you and where to find you?
Yes, yes. Okay, so all my books are on mylittlebanker.com, mylittlebanker.com. You can go there and you get all my books. They're also on Amazon, but, you know, you can also get them on mylittlebanker.com. You can also find me on all social medias at mylittlebanker.com, and you can email me if you need to, you know, ask me a question or a specific question to your situation. You can do that at info@mylittlebanker.com. I'm sorry, info, I-N-F-O, info@mylittlebanker.com.
That
and
is
then
awesome.
If you want, thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if you want to read my blog, you can go to mylittlebanker.com and press blog tab, and it'll take you to my other page, which is rachelsolomon.com. So I know my first name is a little harder to spell and stuff, so I just go with My Little Banker because I know all the links are, you know, they kind of overlap, so it works out.
Well, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to be going ahead and you know, supporting you. And I will be sharing your information, because I just think that this is a great thing, especially when you're working with not only, you know, the adults, but actually having something for the children. And, you know, I have nieces and nieces that are younger, and I believe that this is something that we need to implement into them now, as you are doing. And so I thank you for that. And if there's anything else you would like to add, yes, I'm just, you know, I'm very pleased and I'm excited. And if there's anything else you would like to add, please feel free to do so. If there's a lot of callers that may be like live and they hadn't called in, but they're actually listening through the internet. And so if there's anything else you would like to add, please feel free to do so.
Okay, so I always want to say this. If you're a parent and you're teaching your kids about money, one, don't allow your not knowing the real answer to stop you, because finances touches every part of our lives. And it has almost become a generational curse where, you know, I barely make a little bit more than my mom or dad made, you know, and it's, they didn't tell me about money because money was an adult topic or it was a taboo topic, or they didn't feel confident in, one, the financial knowledge that they knew, or, two, even that I, you know, that I could comprehend what they were talking about. So think about, you know, how are you talking about money in your family right now? When your kids want something, do you say, no, we can't afford it, no, we don't have the money for it, or do you just have a hard, you know, firm, just no, with no explanation at all? One, let's change that. We need to have positive conversations about money, even when the answer is no. So as a parent, when you're talking about money, your kids are listening to you. It don't matter if you're in a car, if you're in your room on the phone, and they in the living room watching cartoons somewhere or whatever. They still listening to you. They still watching you. They still learning from you. You know, everybody, you know, people say that more is caught than taught situation. So what I do is I use real life situations. I use real life situations to teach my kids about money. People are like, oh, my God, how did you start teaching your kids about money at one? Well, my kids wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese, and they wanted to ride the ride, and they wanted to put the money in the machine so it could do the lights or give them the tickets or whatever. It was time for me to start teaching them about money. So I started with simple phrases that they could understand. So I scale. So what I do is the older my child is, the more I can teach them, the more deep I can go, the more complex the conversation can get. When they was 1 and 2, all I taught them was, you know, this token is money. And so when they went to Chuck E. Cheese and they put the token in the machine, they didn't ask me for a token. They asked me for money because that token wasn't free for me. It was real money for me. You know what I mean? And then when they was 2, I taught them that money goes in the bank. So what did that mean? Money went into their little piggy bank. When they turned 3 and 4, I taught them that money goes into the bank. What does that mean? The money went from their piggy bank to an actual bank. So now they got an account. Now they're getting a little older. Now they're transitioning up. So you start with itty-bitty simple little things and gradually get it a little bit more detailed, a little bit more understanding. So I call that scaling. So just teach them at whatever age they're at. Ask them some money questions if they don't know the answer, especially if you got teenagers. Ask them questions like, what's the difference between a debit card and a credit card? 9 out of 10, they don't know, because that's one of the top questions I get from teenagers. If you got a teenager, you know, ask them how do you create money or how do you make money? If they answer as mama and daddy or auntie or cousin or granny, that's the wrong answer. You need to teach them that either they need to work and earn it or they need to be entrepreneurs and create money. You know what I mean? So the conversation, just gauge it to the age of the child. That's what I try to teach parents. Gauge it, and then there's technology now. If you don't know the answer, you can YouTube it. You can Google it. You can go on the internet and find it. And, you know, and you can learn while they're learning if that needs to be the conversation. You guys can learn together. Kids actually like doing that. They like spending. That's an excuse for y'all to spend time together. And I had one more rule in my house. If my kids ask me a question and the answer is money related, I had to answer the question with the money answer. So if they say, what you doing and I'm about to go pay rent, then I say, I'm going to pay rent. And then they ask me, what's rent? Then I say, rent is when you pay somebody to live somewhere because where you're living is not free. I tell my kids all the time, nothing's free but love.
That's right.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. That was my little spiel. I didn't know if I went over. I don't know how long we're supposed to be doing this. But I just felt like I love people to have takeaways. So I like people to be able to leave an interview or me speaking and be like, oh, I learned something. Oh, ooh, that's a good idea. Let me do that.
Yes. And so I'm excited, again, because these are the type of shows that I want to continue to have here in this space. You know, right now what I'm getting ready to do, because what I do before we close is I'll also share a prayer, a closing prayer. And
yes,
I do that because I want people to also know that, you know, we're here to help other people in this space.
Right.
And to provide knowledge and encouragement and motivation, but also to let people know that we see them. and we understand. And so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. Anything that,
yeah.
anything that ends in a prayer is a blessing to me. I'm excited about this.
Amen. Okay. So that's what this space is for, and I'm going to continue to grow it and have other guests, you know, and I welcome you back, because after this, I'm actually going to go ahead and start sending out text messages and emails to some of my, you know, some of the followers and listeners to see what specific questions they may have, and have you come back for those specific questions. And what I'll do is I'll give you questions ahead of time, you know. But what I'm going to do is this morning. Okay, and I'm so thankful. This morning I woke up, and what I was doing is I figured for now on, for like the rest of this year, unless I have more guests, I'm only going to do the show every other Saturday. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I'm also going to be out and actually applying some of, you know, the selfless love in the atmosphere. So I'm going to start doing events, and I'm going to start doing more things to get it out there and to just get the message out there to people who you know, have not came into the show or may not know about the show. But today, when I woke up, the first thing that came to me about today's subject was Jeremiah 29:11. And so when that came to me in regards to your show and your topic, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just, and you know, give the word, and then I'll go into prayer on that word. But it says for Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." And this specific content of, you know, verse of the Bible or scripture is something that literally led me and reminded me throughout a course of my life a few years ago that this is exactly what God is saying. And if we believe in that, you know, we would make better decisions around that and focusing in on that, because God will not, his plan for us is not to see us without, is not to see us, you know, doing bad. He wants us to have a future and a hope. This is the expected end for us, but we have to know that, you know, and once you know it, then it's easier for you to accept it and then apply it. So I'm going to go ahead and start our closing prayer, and I just want to say, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thou art the kingdom, the power, and the glory on earth forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I'm just here right now, and I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to step in and intervene on our behalf and help us with the things that you see that we need help in, Lord. You know, I ask that you remove the stubble and blocks in our lives, and that you pour down a special hedge of protection over us as we go out and we do your will. We are helping to heal the land, Lord, as you said to do, and this is a part of our purpose. And I bless and I ask that everyone in their finances, Lord, that they be multiplied, but that they be disciplined in their financial walk and in their financial space. I'm applying this message to me as well, because there are some things that I need to tidy up with is also. This is for everyone. And so I'm just asking you to continue to walk with us, pour into us. Let us be able to share love. Let us be able to be used as vessels to heal the world and the women and the children, Lord. And we even pray over the men. Right now we're asking for a special prayer over our men, that they find themselves and that they surrender to you so that they can walk in their purpose and be the support that we need them to be for us. In Jesus' name I pray. I thank you very much, Rachel Solomon. And I will be asking for you to be back on here again with us. And enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy
thank
your
you.
Saturday. You're welcome. Have a
thank
rest
you. I
of,
will.
Rest of the day. All right.
Bye.
Bye.